you're not aware, he was the shortest man in the Bible. Because when you read his name, it's Nehemiah. So, Nehemiah chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1 and reading down through verse number 3. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Shishlu, in the 20th year I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in greater friction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Lord, we thank you today that we have the opportunity that we can come, and Lord, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask you this morning as we look into your word, and Father, as your spirit speaks to our heart, that today we'll say those things that need to be said, that Father, we'll lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify him. We will exalt him above all else. We ask you now that you might bless these that are on our prayer list. We pray a special prayer today for the family of Buddy Griggs, and Lord, we pray that you might comfort and strengthen them and give them what they need in this hour. Well, we pray now as we go forward in this service that the Spirit of the Lord might have free reign in our lives, that, Lord, we'll do nothing today to blind and to block him from speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that it's a book about basically rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was written after the captivity of Judah when they went into the Babylonian captivity, and they're getting toward the end of that time, and God is going to return his people to the land of Judah this evening, this morning. But we find that Nehemiah is going to tell us and record for us a story about how that the walls of Jerusalem and the gates need rebuilding today. They had been broken down by the enemies of God and the enemies of the people of God. But you know, today it's not just a story about physically rebuilding some walls and rehanging some gates. But it's also a story today that God puts in his word to show us the restoration of a people from ruin to a new walk and relationship with the Father today. It today is going to teach us how that we can go from rubbish and broken walls and burned out gates into a right relationship with God. We look today and we see him this morning, and it's kind of an unusual text as we this morning prepare to celebrate the birthday of our nation. But the more I thought about this and the more that I read through the book of Nehemiah, the more I say today that we need some Nehemiahs in America this morning. We need some people like Nehemiah who will be willing to raise up and do something for God today. I think today that as Nehemiah comes and as he removes the rubbles and as he rebuilds the walls and as he rehangs the gates this morning and he lifts high the standard of the Lord and proclaims that the Lord is our God. He proclaims that the Lord is our refuge and our strength. He proclaims today that our courage and our hope come not from anybody but from the Lord today. This morning, as I look across our nation, as I look across this great country in which you and I live, we today need some folks to rebuild some walls and rehang some gates and today remove some rubble and rubbish from the lives today and stand and proclaim today that the Lord is our God. few years ago, a man by the name of Chris Christopherson wrote many songs, and one of the songs that he wrote contained in it a line that's always been somewhat of a puzzle to me, and it still remains that way today. But as I read that line over and over again during this time of the year, and he wrote these words, "Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing's not worth nothing, Lord, but it's free." I sometimes wonder, what in the world did he mean when he wrote those words? Somebody said, well, he didn't write it grammatically correct. Well, I don't know about that. I know that he was an English professor, so I guess he knew more about grammar than I did. But as I read that, I thought at least one thing I can tell you today, that freedom is a little bit more than a word with that means nothing left to lose today. You see, freedom and liberty are the hallmarks of our nation. They are the hallmarks today of this great country. Many people come to our shores and they've escaped from many countries today of oppression, and where they've been persecuted and afflicted, and they come to this nation today to receive freedom and liberty this morning, where they can be free from all of the trinity of the many nations are living under today. I want to say this to you today, this morning, that we have been blessed by God. Sometimes we say, God bless America. God has blessed America this morning. And when you look around you this morning, we're not here today and we're not worried about a bomb crashing down upon us. We're not worried about sniper fire. We're not worried today about being arrested and persecuted and placed in jail, because this morning we are here worshiping the God of glory. God has blessed America this morning. And we need to be thankful for that. We need to be more grateful for what God has done for us this morning.
Amen. Right.
Every day I get up and I think, as I look outside, I don't see armored vehicles. I'm not worried today about a bomb dropping, as I said. And we need to be thankful today, because many people wake up every morning not knowing if that's going to be their last day upon the earth, because they've been killed in some kind of political skirmish, because they've been killed today simply as innocent bystanders many times because someone wanted to make a statement today about terrorism. America is a blessed nation today. But the freedom that we enjoy today has been bought by the blood and the lives of many patriots today. It's been preserved by the blood and the lives, and it's still being preserved by the blood and the lives of those who serve our nation today. And I would encourage you, and I ask you this morning, that you pray and you, every day of your life, you thank God that there are people willing to stand guard tonight over those freedoms and liberties that you and I enjoy this morning, and the blessings of God that we're enjoying right now.
Amen.
As I said, we're going to take a special offering in a moment after the services this morning for tracts that are printed and given to the military personnel on a voluntary basis. And it encourages those individuals and lets them know that someone is praying for them and cares about them. And we need to let those people know that this morning. As I read this book and as I think about Nehemiah this morning, and as I look today, I think about what Nehemiah's response was here in chapter number 1. You see, you ask a question. And sometimes when you ask a question, you're not expecting the answer that you get. A woman woke up one morning, and as her and her husband were enjoying their breakfast, she said, "I had a dream last night." And he said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." And she said, "You know, my birthday is coming up." He said, "Yes, I know that. What was your dream?" "I dreamed that I had a very beautiful pearl necklace." "What do you think that means?" And he said, "I don't know, but you'll know tonight." All during the day, she was so excited, and that evening when he came home, he had a little box in his hand, and it was all gift wrapped. And he handed it to her and gave her a kiss and said, "Happy birthday." And she tore the wrappings off of the box and opened it up, and there was a book on the inside, How to Interpret Dreams. So Sometimes we don't get the answer that we want. Nehemiah here got an answer today, but it really today was not the answer I don't think that Nehemiah wanted to hear. Because this answer startled him and saddened him. You see, he found about the condition of his country and his countrymen, his brethren. And here we find that the man that had came back and gave the report talked about the reproach and how that the gates this morning were burned down and how that the walls were broken down today. And so Nehemiah, when he hears what's taking place in his nation today, the Bible says in verse number 4 that he said, when I heard these words, when he heard what was taking place and what was going on with his country and his countrymen, the Bible said, he said that I sat down and wept. He sat down and wept. He had a great compassion and a great love for his nation. He had a great compassion and a great love for his brethren this morning. And so the Bible said that he sat down and he wept. When you read those words, and we kindly pass over them kindly lightly at times, but this thought occurred to me as we look about our country today, as we look this morning and we see all of these things, what are we doing? You see, we find here that Nehemiah, when he asked this question and he found out what was taking place, he sat down and he wept. Sometimes I think maybe what you and I need to do about our great nation is just sit down and weep. We need to have a compassionate heart, and we need to look around and see what's taking place, and we need this morning to weep. Just take a time and sit down and begin to weep and cry about what's happening around our world. He sat down and he wept, and the Bible said that he mourned certain days. It made him sick to his heart, made him sick in his soul. He mourned. This next one's really and fasted. And fasted and prayed. You see, as we begin to read on, we'll find that Nehemiah, as he looks at his country and he looks at his countrymen, he realizes that it's Judah's fault. It's Israel's fault. It wasn't the Lord's fault. The Lord wasn't the reason that there was rubble and rubbish and broken walls and burned out gates. That wasn't the Lord's will today. You see, he acknowledges as he begins to pray for his country, as he begins to pray for his countrymen, and as he begins to talk to God and pour out his heart unto him, he acknowledges this day how they moved from the Lord, how they moved away from God. He said in verse number 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee. You see, they begin to forget God. They wanted to escape from the Lord today. It wasn't God's will or God's doing that all of this transpired. God wanted to bless them. God wanted this morning to make them a great nation today. But their sin, their disobedience, the evil that was in their heart separated them from the Lord. They refused the invitation of God. You can read, as you read the last chapter in the book of 2 Chronicles, and you read there what God says about them, how that he sent messengers unto them, how that over and over again he sent a message that if they would repent and return, that he would preserve them and restore them. But yet the Bible says they persecuted the messengers of God. They refused the message of God. Jeremiah said, God said, return to the old path, and they said, we will not return. We're not going to walk in the old path. That's old fashioned. We're not going to go that route anymore. We're not going to follow God's laws. We're not going to follow God's standards. We're going a different direction, and we will not. We're a stubborn, stiff-hearted people. Boy, when you begin to look at America this morning, when you begin to look at this nation today, I dare say that none of us here this morning could deny that we're living in rubble and rubbish. Everywhere you look around, there's rubble and rubbish in people's lives. Everywhere that we look around, there's rubble and rubbish today. And we're living in a garbage can of society this morning. And the stink is getting worse in the nostrils of God every time. We're living in the midst of rubble. And our walls are certainly beginning to be broken down. And our gates are beginning to be burned with fire. Why this morning? Because we have forgot God. We have refused God. We have rebelled against God today. Our nation this morning is filled with crime, corruption, immorality, idolatry, dishonesty, and on the list could go today. And it's our fault. We cannot blame any of that on God. We can't blame crime. We can't blame corruption. We can't blame immorality and idolatry and dishonesty and all of the other things that we are seeing in our country today upon the Lord. It's our fault. Why? Because we've left God. We've moved from God. We're like the people in Jeremiah's day. When you say, hey, we need to return to the standards of the Lord. We need to return to the old paths. We need to walk in the way that God would have us to walk. We hear all of the problems that we look around this morning and we see in our country. As I said, we're living in the midst of rubble and rubbish. We see single-parent homes. We see all of the immorality that's taking place and the crime. And we come out with a very simple solution. God said that if we'd return and we'd had morals and standards that are consistent with the Word of God, all of that would be gone. But what do we hear? No. We're not going to do that. That's old-fashioned. That's out of date. We will not. So this morning, as Nehemiah acknowledged how they had dealt corruptly with God, how that his nation was living in the midst of rubble and broken down walls and burned out gates, being a reproach to those around them. He acknowledged to God, it's our fault. You know, sometimes we need to realize it's our fault this morning. Sometimes we need to realize that it's not the Lord's fault. Living in a day and age, it's amazing sometime. I read about how that a high school teacher went into an empty classroom because he heard noise. And when he walked into the classroom, there was a group of teenage boys gathered around in a circle on their knees. And he went rushing over there and said, what are y'all doing? And one of them looked up and said, we're shooting dice. And he said, oh, that's okay. I thought you was praying. Then we wonder what's wrong. Amen. It's our fault. We have dealt corruptly with God. We have forgot God. We have rebelled against God. And we have allowed it to happen. you look back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and 90s, and we're continuing on in to this century this morning. And we honor the bad and persecute the good. As Paul said this morning in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Isn't it amazing today who we honor, who we lift up, and who we praise? I read recently in the Monroe County Journal how that over in Aberdeen, Mississippi, they're having a problem seemingly from teenage crime, and now the police chief in Aberdeen wants to hold the parents responsible for the crimes committed by the children. And all of that sounds good. They're out after curfew, we'll find the parents. Well, that sounds real good, doesn't it? But have you ever thought about something? If you ever had a teenage child, now you know they're going to do things you don't want them to do. So I'm not excusing them. Please don't misunderstand me. But how are you going to keep them home? My granddaddy had a plow line and a razor strap. But you know what? You tell them now, you're not going out tonight. You can't go anywhere. And if you do, I'll wear you out. Then they call the Department of Human Services and they come put you in jail. Then they go out and then you get fined because they went out. Now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Whose fault is all of that? It's our fault. We forgot God. We forgot what God says this morning, and we're living in rubble and rubbish, and we need to get right with the Lord. We need to be like Nehemiah, and sometimes we need to sit down and weep and pray and be honest with God about what's taking place in our world. But then there was Nehemiah's risk. You read in chapter 2 how that, and we know that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king, and means a lot more than I used to think when you begin to read, but Nehemiah was the individual who tasted the food before the king ate it to make sure it wasn't poison and the king wouldn't die. And he was always to be joyful. It was, you weren't to go into the king's presence with a sadness on your face. But Nehemiah got sad, and when he went into the king, and the king asked him in verse number 2 of chapter 2, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeming thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sore of heart, then I was sore afraid." He was afraid this morning that he was about to be killed because he was sad because of a broken heart over the people of the Lord. But he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He said, Now, Nehemiah, what do you want? So he said, I ordered a quick prayer. And I said unto the king, If it is please your king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. He said, King, this is my request. I want you to send me to Jerusalem. I want to start picking up the rubbish. I want to start rebuilding some walls and rehanging some gates. See, he once said, I want to take a risk. I'm willing to head back. I don't know what awaits me, but in faith, I'm willing to go. You know, sometimes we just have to take a risk. Sometimes we just have to be willing to step out by faith on what the Lord asks us to do. I read recently about David Wilkerson, who died tragically a couple of years ago in an automobile accident. And David Wilkerson was a pastor up in Pennsylvania, out in the rural area. He was watching television one night, and there were some teenage gang members in New York, and they were on trial for murder. And he began to tell about all the problems with crime that they were having in New York City. And David Wilkerson packed his old car and headed to New York City. And there he began to work amongst the gangs in the ghettos and in the hard, difficult places of New York City, and established a ministry there that's still going today. And while he and I this morning sometime might differ on some theological aspects, the one thing I can tell you that David Wilkerson did believe in was repentance and the blood of Jesus Christ. And he preached and ministered, and there in that city began to win people to the Lord, began to minister to those gang members, and made it a better and a safer neighborhoods for them. He was willing to step out by faith and take a risk, and instead of complaining, simply do what God laid upon his heart. Sometimes we have to take a risk, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we have to be willing to step out by faith and do what the Lord wants us to do. Nehemiah moved in faith. Did he have problems? Oh boy, did he have problems. You read through the rest of the book, and we probably look at a couple of things that he had problems with in the near future, but all the problems that he always had a God that was there with him. I'm not going to tell you this morning that if we step out and take a risk that there are not going to be problems. There are always going to be problems that face us. When you begin to fight against the devil this morning, I'll guarantee you that he wants to fight back. When you begin to fight against the enemies of God, there's always going to be a war that ensues. But understand this, as Nehemiah understood, that he was doing what God wanted him to do, and God was stronger than the enemies of God. And he wasn't doing battle in his own strength. He was battling in the Lord's strength this morning. It really wasn't his battle. It was the Lord's battle. He was simply the instrument that God was using. Nehemiah took a risk that his nation might be better. We sometimes need to take a risk that our nation might be better. Then you begin to read throughout the book, and you'll see Nehemiah's results are very simple. The walls were built, the gates were hung, the rubble was removed. But the most interesting thing to me is at the end, they had a great worship service. And they praised and worshiped the Lord God of glory. You know, sometimes I believe this morning if we could simply do as Nehemiah did, we could come back to the time when we would worship the God of glory. When we could lift his name in praise and lift his word, and this morning we would worship him in spirit and in truth, and God would truly bless us this morning. The great result today of taking a risk for God, the great result today of working and laboring for the Lord, is not sometimes going to be fame and fortune. It's not meant to be. It's not going to be this morning what many people equate with greatness. But I want to tell you the great results today of ministering and worshiping or ministering and working for the Lord. It's when people begin to praise and worship God. And in your heart, God begins to speak. And what a glorious thing that is today. We need this morning to begin to work and take some risks for God. And then we might see people worshiping the Lord. And boy, what a great sight that would be. This morning, we're celebrating the birthday of America this week. What a great nation it is. And I'm not demeaning it today by any means. But we've wound up in a pile of rubbish and broken down walls and some burned out gates. And we need some Nehemiahs that'll stand forth today and take some risk and begin to work for God. Well, what results we might see as people begin to worship and praise the Lord in spirit and in truth. And acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the answer finds of our problems and the solution to our dilemma is found encased very simply in God's holy word today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what the world needs to hear. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you simply take this very simple, brief message and use it today for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious, holy name I pray. Amen and amen.